What's up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Got co-host Wes Goldberg joining us from Utah in just a minute. The Dubs are taking on the Jazz this evening. Another tough matchup for the Warriors, especially considering we have new injury news. They're going to be down to 8 players tonight. Going to be a tough one, but we're breaking it all down for you here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's good, everybody? Welcome in to Locked On Warriors. Happy Friday to all of you out there. Have a safe, fun weekend, please. Enjoy the Dubs playing tonight. Or, you know, Wes might give you advice to maybe do something else tonight. But we'll see. We'll see how this one plays out as the Dubs are taking on the Jazz, who smoked them last time. Probably going to be a similar outcome, but we're going to talk about it, talk about things to look for, and also some new injury news, which, you know, we joke about it being a daily thing, but it really feels like it's about a daily thing. And we do have some updates on Draymond, Jacob Evans, Alan Smiley, all the walking wounded. So we're going to get to that as well in just a minute. Attention, past, present, and future MyBookie players. During Thanksgiving week, MyBookie is offering a risk-free bet on the Bears-Lions game. Simply choose a team against the spread for up to $250. If you win, congratulations. You've got extra holiday spending money. If you lose, congrats, because MyBookie will give you all your money back. It's a no-brainer, because you literally cannot lose. It's no risk, all gravy. It doesn't matter whether you're an experienced player or a first-time customer. MyBookie welcomes all to come play, so quit waiting around and sign up today. Do you find yourself wanting a sports bet but have lots of questions? Don't sweat it. MyBookie's patient customer service team can walk you through the process, and the best part is if you join this Thanksgiving week, you'll still have one last shot to take advantage of their incredible sign-up offer. Just log on to mybookie.ag and make your first deposit with promo code LOCKEDONNBA, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar to jumpstart your bankroll. That's on the top of the risk-free bet. Let me repeat that. That's a guaranteed deposit match and a risk-free bet for Thanksgiving only. So if you're a true football fan, you do not want to let this opportunity pass you by. You simply can't lose. Make sure you do your part to support your team this season. Hop on the gravy train and get in on MyBookie. You play, you win, you get paid. Wes, what's up, man? You are finishing up the road trip in Utah tonight as the Warriors are going to take on the Utah Jazz once again. And we'll get to the game in just a minute. And even though we joke about it, it has become basically a daily segment. Is the injury updates, injury news. And yeah. Today was not unlike any other day. Steve Kerr had some updates. So, well, what do you got from Steve Kerr as far as, you know, the walking wounded go?
Well, we'll start with Draymond Green. He is out tonight versus the Utah Jazz. Basically, just kind of taking advantage of the schedule that they really haven't been able to take advantage of. It's been kind of a brutal schedule for the Warriors early in the season. A lot of road trips, a lot of I think 4 back-to-backs already in the early part of the season. And this is kind of the first time where they had an opportunity to get a couple of days off for Draymond, which we remember that they wanted to, you know, kind of put him into like the load management system, situation. So kind of just saying, like, he basically, Steve said he could play tonight with this right heel soreness, but they're just not going to play him tonight. That way he gets a full 5-day break, which, you know, understanding that they're going to have some load management with Draymond, they may never get another situation where he can actually get 5 days off in a row this season. So it's a precautionary rest. He won't be playing, fully expected to be back for Monday's game at home against the Thunder. And then as far as the other guys, Kevon Looney is working with Santa Cruz this week. He'll be with the team on Sunday. He'll go through a shoot-around, or I should say he'll go through a full practice with them on Sunday. He could be back as soon as Monday. So now, with the Warriors only have 8 guys for tonight's game against Utah, but could have 10 available for the first time in a very long time by Monday. So I think that's the good news for the Warriors. And the other guys like Jacob Evans, Alan Smilagic, and Damian Lee were all being not reevaluated today, but getting progress updates today, but they're not expected back, you know, by Monday. It'll be a little bit longer for those guys. So that's the latest on the injury front.
Yeah, this is poor reporting on my part or whatever you want to call it. But yeah, I think they said they'd reevaluate Jacob Evans like early December. So the soonest for him would be early December, I guess. And I think for Smiley Geach and Lee, it was, you know, another week or so. But yeah, I don't have the exact numbers with me. But yeah, these guys are going to be out. Smiley, I mean, especially Jacob Evans. That's the one that's kind of surprised me. The fact it's been over a month now, or it will be over a month by the time that he's able to potentially get back on the floor.
Yeah, and I think the expectation now is for D'Angelo Russell and Jacob Evans to be reevaluated around the same time, which would be next Friday or Saturday. So you're looking at another couple of days or another couple of games, and they're going to be right in the middle of that kind of thing, getting holiday road trip where they're going to go all in the East Coast. So do you really want to fly out a guy like Jacob Evans dealing with a hip issue, basically a hip / sort of groin issue, across the country to rejoin the team? I don't know. D'Angelo Russell, that might be a little bit easier. You might actually feel a little more urgency to get somebody like D'Angelo Russell out there versus a guy like Jacob Evans, more of a role player. But we'll probably get them both reevaluated around the same time. Smilagic could return at any point, but again, like, they don't need centers, especially if they're getting, like, if the two bodies are getting back is Draymond and Kevon. Like, I don't know if Smilagic is going to necessarily be the body that they need. It's not like he can go out there and play guard for them. So it wouldn't shock me if we just saw him just hang out in Santa Cruz, even when healthy. And Damian Lee, of course, they want to get back, but they're also going to be really careful with him because of the nature of the injury being a fractured hand. There's going to be a little bit more rehab involved in that. So I wouldn't expect him back, you know, anytime before those, like, D'Angelo Russell, Jacob Evans things. Maybe a little bit before, but not that much more before.
Yeah, the only benefit to Smilagic potentially coming back and being with the main club, the NBA club, is then, depending on guard health, it would allow Draymond to play more point guard if necessary. But, you know, if you get the guards back healthy at the same time, then it doesn't matter. You don't need Smilagic. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him start down in Santa Cruz initially. And then, you know, as we've seen with these injuries, I'm sure there will be an opportunity at some point for him with the big club. I want to go back to Jacob Evans real quick because, and maybe I'm overdoing it, overselling Kai Bowman, but I've been impressed with him. I've liked the way he's played. I think he has shown more, and maybe it's just opportunities that he's been given, but he's shown more in his short amount of time with the Warriors this season than Jacob Evans showed all last year and, you know, what, 1.5 games this year as well. Do you think when Jacob Evans comes back, there's obviously going to be opportunities for him, but how much do you think he'll cut into Kai Bowman's opportunities?
I don't think really at all. I know we had the whole backup point guard Jacob Evans experiment in summer league and preseason and stuff, but I think with Kai Bowman, his emergence as a legitimate backup point guard, and at this point, you know, for tonight against Utah, starting point guard.
Yeah.
I think that allows Jacob to play more in his lane as an off-ball guy, shooting guard type role. Jacob Evans, his minutes would probably come at the expense of Jordan Poole, if anybody. I actually don't see Kai Bowman's minutes being affected whatsoever by Jacob Evans.
Well, for me, who has become a fan of Kai Bowman over this season, I'm pretty glad to hear that, but I agree with you as well. I think it'll cut into Jordan Poole more than anything, and, you know, hopefully that helps him get his mind right or whatever it is that is affecting his game. But
the math is pretty simple there too. I mean, you look at Jordan Poole basically playing 30 minutes a game. If you just give 20 of those to Jacob right away, and he'll play right away as soon as he's ready to go, he's going to be playing right away. You just get 20 of those to, you get 18 to 20 of those to Jacob Evans, and now you're asking Jordan Poole to have to, you know, play 30 minutes, which he's clearly not ready to do, which is fine, but he's not. And you go from 30 minutes to 10 minutes a game. That's going to be a lot off his plate, and I think it'll be really good for his development. So I think the math just works out really easily.
Definitely. And the thing with Jacob Evans also, you know, we talked about the point guard experiment with Kai Bowman emerging, you know, well, maybe we'll scrap that. But the bottom line is he did prove himself to be a adequate ball handler, which is one of the things. There's a couple of things that I think you can't have too many of on the floor at all times, which is, you know, shooting, ball handling, and versatile defenders. And at the very least, he's shown he can be a ball handler somewhat, which is something they lost with Livingston and Iguodala and Durant all leaving. So, yeah. I mean, that is one bonus, even if he's not playing that backup point guard spot. I just want to give a quick update as well, because I talked about it a couple episodes ago. Kai Bowman is up to 318 minutes played in the NBA, and Jacob Evans is at 247. So Kai Bowman now the vet of that group, the vet point guard.
Well, I was talking to Kai Bowman today, and just about some, just like how he's doing about stuff, and he does like, it's funny that you kind of mentioned him as a vet, and I know it was like tongue in cheek, but he's like not giving any thought whatsoever to like the 2-day contract stuff, like how many games he has of it, like how many more days of NBA service he has. Like anytime we bring it up, he's like, dude, I'm not even thinking about that right now. He's just like, he's completely like locked into like this. Like I don't mean it to sound cliche, but I've asked him like, how many days left do you think you have? And he's like, I don't know. Like he legitimately does not know, which to me is shocking. But like if I were in a situation, I would be counting every single day. I would absolutely know. But for him, he's just like, he's like, I'm just trying to do my job. And like, you kind of feel like, all right, yeah, you're playing 30 minutes a game, basically being asked now to be the starting point guard with D'Angelo and Draymond Green out. It's like, yeah, maybe you don't have enough time to think like about what this is going on. You're trying to figure out how to run an offense. So exactly. I just thought that was pretty interesting. Yeah.
I mean, if he's 15th man on the bench getting mop up minutes, I'm sure he is counting every single second he's with the Warriors. But yeah, he's, like you said, he's trying to learn the offense, playing 30 minutes a night, starting, I think, what is it, like his fifth or sixth game on the season already. Yeah. So, yeah, maybe it's true, but yeah, maybe it's cliche. You never know. Like when players are like, oh, I don't listen to the media. Shut up. Yes, you do.
I think I have a good BS detector when it comes to this stuff, and I legitimately think he was telling the truth. Like he was like, I don't know. He's like, I don't even know what you're talking about. Like,
I'm glad to know that you have a solid BS detector, because I'm full of it. So that's perfect. We're going to take a quick break, come back. I want to talk about tonight's game against Utah, because they smoked the Warriors last time. And, you know, the matchup doesn't look much better tonight, but there are some spots that the Warriors might be able to take advantage of. And we're going to talk about that in just a second. But first, Audible has the world's largest selection of audiobooks and audio entertainment. Start listening with a 30-day Audible trial. Choose one audiobook and two Audible originals absolutely free. Visit audible.com/lockedonNBA. Listening on the go? If you can't visit Audible right now, you can find this and all other offers from Locked On sponsors at lockedonpodcast.com/offers. Wes, so the Warriors are taking on the Jazz tonight. I don't have the numbers in front of me immediately, but I think they lost that last game by like 30. Mike Conley went off. It was his get-right game. They're a talented team. They're looked at as by some as, you know, in that mix of the top 3-4 teams in the West. Tonight with the Warriors down to 8 players, it's hard to be very optimistic about this one. But again, you're seeing a team for the second time. Maybe they found something last time they might be able to take advantage of. I don't know what that would be, but I mean, what are you looking for tonight between the Dubs and Jazz?
Honestly, man, like, if this is the night for our listeners here, like, if you want to just take a night off from watching the Warriors and just, like, go out, like, I don't know, go check out the Christmas tree at Union Square. Maybe, like, just go shopping. Go on a date night. Like, hang out with your friends that you haven't seen in a while. Like, this is the night to do it, because this game's going to be ugly and probably not a lot of fun. Just, like, that's what I'm just sort of bracing myself for. Not only are the Warriors down to 8 guys, like you said, but the Warriors are taking a whole lot of mid-range shots this season, because they kind of have to. I mean, you look at guys like Eric Paschal and Kai Bowman and all these guys who kind of thrive in that like mid-range area. All right, so you have a lot of that happening. On Utah's side, they are one of the league leaders in mid-range shots. So you got like Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley with all these floaters and mid-range shots and stuff like that. So it's not going to be like this aesthetically pleasing, whipping the ball around, getting a bunch of threes, playing strong defense, you know, all this stuff. Like, it's just going to be a bunch of like kind of clunky mid-range shots from both of these teams, just trying to manufacture as much offense as possible. And then like, it's not going to be all that efficient. I mean, Jordan Poole, we all know his shooting slump, right? He's last in the league in shooting percentage. It's like at like 25% right now or something. He's last in the league in shooting percentage among players who have taken as many shots as he has, which has been like 150 shots all season. Second is Mike Conley. for the Jazz. And he's like 10 percentage points better than Jordan Poole, but that's only like 34 or 35%. He's been just bricking it all season long. You got those two guys playing significant roles, just like throwing up bricks off the side of the backboard. You got two teams that are sort of still trying to figure things out, taking a bunch of mid-range jumpers. Like, this is the game not to watch, and that's sort of like what I'm looking for. I'm just like looking for anything that is like fun in this game at all.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, you guys can never claim that we lie to you, because it is going to be an ugly game. One of the small things I'd look for is like Eric Paschal trying to finish over Gobert, because one of the things he struggled with is just finishing over size and length. And Gobert is, you know, probably the longest player in the NBA, or at least, you know, besides Mo Bamba, I guess.
Yeah.
But Bamba's not very good. So, I mean, that's one thing.
One thing on Paschal, just like not necessarily tonight, but like just a trend of moving forward. He's been working a lot on not fouling or not charging into players, not drawing charging fouls. So not drawing offensive fouls, I should say. So that's one thing that I think gets him in trouble when he's trying to finish over size is, all right, do I actually lower my shoulder and risk drawing the offensive foul here? Or do I just try to avoid contact altogether because the refs haven't been giving me the whistle? And then he ends up with like these awkward sidearm kind of layup attempts that end up not working out. He needs to figure out how to use his body, like to use that shoulder to draw contact while not receiving the offensive foul. And that could be something to watch here, because Rudy Gobert is a really good test for that, because Rudy Gobert is really good at drawing charge fouls. So something to watch there for sure.
There you go. And I mean, I just got to say, the worst part about the whole Jordan Poole thing is he's supposed to be a shooter. Like, you know, Draymond's rookie year, I think he shot like 17% from three, and you're like, all right, well, he's more of a power forward, like not a shooter, but you know, that's supposed to be Jordan Poole's strong spot. And, you know, hopefully something works itself out by the end of the year. He's still got 60 something games to try and get it together. But man, it has been a bad start for the first rounder. Wes, I wanted to go ahead.
Yeah, he was the last guy on the practice floor today, this morning, doing mostly the two drills that he was doing was shooting threes as guys were closing out to him. So he was standing mostly in the corners and above the break, shooting threes as assistant coaches ran by him or towards him. And so he was getting those shots off, which is that's a big part of his shots, right? He's not the first guy to get in the offense. It's usually when Jordan Poole shoots, it's like swing, swing, drive, kick out to Jordan Poole, guy closes out on him, and he misses a shot. So that's what he was working on. And then actually finishing through contact, what we were just talking about in regards to basketball, using his inside shoulder to lean into the body of the defender first and then getting a shot up. So those are the two things he was working on, which was kind of interesting because I hadn't seen him work through only those drills. Maybe I wasn't paying close enough attention, but it's interesting that he's working on like those two drills specifically and being the last guy on the practice court on a Friday morning to do so.
I mean, I love to hear that also, and, you know, not to be cliche or anything, but it's just to hear that a guy's working it's always better than not. You know, there have been people who have flamed out because they don't work hard enough. And, you know, just to hear that he's putting in the hours, you hope it works out. You hope the work pays off, but
yeah,
we'll see. Wes, I wanted to talk to you about, because this is your first year as a beat writer, and this was, I mean, I think your first longest road trip so far, and you're doing great work, because I would not want to do all the traveling that you're doing, man. It started with New Orleans to Memphis to Dallas to Utah tonight. Just how's it been going, man? What's the beat writer life like? Because it's something that's definitely interesting to me. All we see is the articles and you at the games, but man, there's a lot of work in between. So how's it been going?
It's been going well. Thanks for asking. I mean, I'm standing in Salt Lake City, Utah right now in the entryway of a California pizza kitchen.
Nice.
So I just got done with a salad, trying to stay healthy. That's been pretty difficult as opposed to just like, you know, grabbing tacos and sandwiches wherever you can at whatever airport you're in. But it's like a lot of writing in weird places. A lot of like, just had this interview, like I'm going to write in the lobby of a hotel, or like, you know, basically finishing articles as I'm like in line to get onto a flight or something. So it's just been like a lot of that kind of stuff, but overall it's been great. I mean, this trip was actually good. It was the longest trip, but, you know, New Orleans, Memphis, like stuff like that, or like, those are like cool NBA cities with like good food. I ate really well in both of those cities. Actually had some of the best Mexican food in my life, actually, in Utah last night. Did not ever expect to say that.
Yeah, for real.
So they know what to do, what they're doing here. Didn't like Dallas so much. Don't like Dallas.
Okay.
One of my least. I think what we should do at the end of the season is like put together rankings of like NBA cities. Dallas is, I'm going to tell you, probably going to be near the bottom of my list.
All right. What goes into a good NBA city? Now, I know some veteran beat writers have been like, proximity to the airport and the stadium is big. Yeah. But like, what was it about Dallas?
You need a good airport with the proximity to the downtown area, wherever the arena is. You need good Marriotts. I'm a Marriott guy. So you need a good if Marriott wants to sponsor Locked On Warriors, like more than happy to bring you guys aboard. So if there's like a Marriott, like a good Marriott near the arena, that's perfect. Like if I go walk to the arena, that's good. And so Utah actually like is literally staying right across the street from the arena, which is great.
Nice.
And then good food options. And like if I'm in town long enough, I just want like one solid spot to grab a beer. Just one good spot after a game, like not like these early last call type situations. That was the one thing about Utah, man. No coffee after like 11 o'clock a.m. That was the one thing. Early last call and then no coffee the next day. Like, I think it's like, I don't want to offend any of our listeners, but I know like Mormons have like a caffeine thing. Not okay with it. So, it's kind of interesting. Like as a speed writer, I'm doing more traveling than I ever have in my life, but like learning all like these different towns and seeing all like these different like mini micro cultures and stuff. It's been pretty cool. The reason I don't like Dallas is because the hotels suck. Everything's far away from the arena and I don't like American Airlines Center. It's kind of a dinky arena. I just don't like it. The layout is really weird. The food's not good in Dallas. Like, I guess there's like one barbecue spot in downtown Dallas, but I'd much rather go to Austin for barbecue.
Yeah.
And like Dallas is weird because like I don't really know why we have a city there. Like, why is there like most cities like Chicago? You think like, oh, it's like, you know, by the river and like you've got like by port cities and. Like, there's reasons for cities to be there, but, like, Dallas is just sort of, like, in the middle of Texas for no reason. Like, they would tell you it's because of oil, but it's like, all right, big deal. Like, whatever. Like, it's great that you have oil here, but do you need to have a whole city, like, here to get oil? Like, I don't think so. So, I didn't feel like a reason to be there other than the game.
There you go. We're over you, Dallas.
I keep, like, punishing Dallas. Yeah, no, I'm done with Dallas. Like,
enough. Well, right on, man. You're doing a great job, and thank you for doing all the traveling that, you know, I know I wouldn't want to do. I think that's the toughest part of the job. But keep it up and keep up hitting me up for Locked On Warriors every day. And we'll be back on Monday. I'm losing track of days myself, and I'm not even traveling every day. We'll be back Monday with another episode of Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.